Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That's David Noble here filling in still. That's Noble with a K, lawyer here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We got John Jackson in the house. John, thanks for being here.
You hit the bat signal, and here I am, brother. That's all you got to do.
I don't know. You heard me talking about this story out of Butte, where you've got what's referred to as a Butte family, which is two obese lesbians with four kids, and that's the story the media pointed out. We got a message here from Thomas J. Madigan. He says, "I'm a Desert Storm vet. My spine is trashed. I'm working 60-plus hours a week as a truck driver, and I'm having a house built and currently renting, and I'm getting it done. Lazy is not a disability."
Well, you know, like what you said, that you've been told and you've heard from a bunch of people where they're intentionally working right up to the number of hours so they don't lose their benefits. I think that's obviously what's going on here, because like you and I were talking at the break, my daughter works at a nursing home for food service and makes like $18 an hour.
Yeah, which is almost $40,000 a year, just one person. I mean, you had two people, that should be $80,000 a year.
And she's 17. I mean, you know, adults, you know, can't get better jobs than that, paying more. I mean, obviously, they're scamming.
Yeah, and like I was saying, like, you know, I don't think we're not heartless. In fact, it's actually conservatives, it's Christians, it's Republicans that actually donate to charity, that actually volunteer at food, you know, soup kitchens, things like that. We're the ones that would support one of these programs that actually is run at the state or the county or the city level that actually helps the truly needy. And I'm talking about people that are truly disabled, people that might be a single parent and they're just going through a temporary rough spot. But when you have this kind of abuse out there and you have over and over and over again business owners and people, employees, hearing it from fellow employees that, hey, no, I don't want to work that many hours, or no, I'm not going to get a second job because I'm going to lose my benefits. That's what turns people off to these programs, and that's what's going to ultimately could be the demise of these programs, is the very abuse that's going on.
42 million people in this country right now on this program. That's 12% of the population, 60% of all illegal alien households. And then the other stat, I want to say it's 45%, right around in there, of all, in big quotes, legal aliens are on this too. So this notion, you hear a lot of these people too say, I'm all for legal immigration. Folks, almost 50% of these people are immediately on our welfare dime.
Yeah, and there was a there was a story, I don't know if you saw it on X, about a quote-unquote legal immigrant who literally just won a political position and has been voting nonstop. We'll find that story here and talk a little bit more about it. We also were talking about this MSU Billings poll where you've got the 18 to 29-year-olds in Montana voting 62% for Trump, 70 and older only 45% Trump. Robin Bozeman writes in on that topic. He says, I'm 75. The reason the over 70s are voting for Kamala is Baucus and Tester. They've been fed the Democrat BS for so long, they've become it. The youngsters have their Charlie Kirks. We'll get, I think that's a good point, Robin Bozeman, and we'll get John Jackson's response and take on that right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers developing around the area, even mixed a little snow in some spots towards Bozeman. High temperature readings today, otherwise staying around 47 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 50s in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows of 23 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. And then on Saturday, there's a chance for snow showers for the first half of the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. While the more steps you take during the day may benefit your overall health, a recent long-term study finds as little as 5,000 steps a day could help protect your brain from changes related to Alzheimer's disease. Researchers followed nearly 300 older adults for 14 years, and they found people who were already showing high levels of beta-amyloid proteins in their brains lost thinking and memory skills more slowly if they were physically active. Adults who walked between 5,000 and 7,500 steps per day saw their thinking skills decline at half the rate of people who were mostly inactive. The team says their study was observational, so it can't prove that exercise directly helps prevent Alzheimer's, But experts agree it supports a body of evidence that activity is a modifiable risk factor in preventing the disease. Findings appear in the journal Nature Medicine. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady. Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Thanksgiving.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, so I was talking about this MSU Billings poll result where you've got young people in Montana, 62% vote for Trump, 70 and older, it's only 45% voting for Trump. And then we had the message from Rob in Bozeman, 75. He's saying, you know, traces it back to the Baucuses and the Testers of the world, which are Democrats that basically pretended to be moderates. And you could say, you know, this, the Bill Clinton Democrat Party, whatever you might refer to, but that's not the Democrat Party we're dealing with today. I think Robin Bozeman's right is maybe some of the older generation. I'm not talking about the people listening to this show, because if you're listening to this show, you're probably not voting for Kamala Harris, right? even if you're in that older or demographic. But I sort of, he attributes it to the Baucuses and the Testers of the world, the Bill Clinton Democrat Party. A lot of them still think that. I think, okay, well, why do they think that? They think that because that's what the means. Well, number one, the Democrat Party lies and says, hey, we're moderates. And then number two, the mainstream media props that up.
You know, and you know, that's the thing I think that is Joe Biden era and post Joe Biden now, they have dropped that whole pretense. They're not even bothering to lie about that anymore, not even out on the stump, not to their voters. They are flat out telling them they'll say progressive, which means we're communists. We want to raise everybody's taxes. We're taxing the rich. We're taking over everything. And the government is the answer to it all. And that's who we are now. They're not even pretending otherwise anymore.
No, I mean, look at what the Democrats in Butte are doing. They're raising property taxes to make sure that the obese lesbian couple gets their food stamps.
I swear, I tell my buddies back in North Carolina that they grew up with that. They grew up with the old school Southern, like they call them the Dixiecrats. You don't know if you ever heard that phrase. And those old time Democrats, you know what? They were conservative across the board, except they were very, very pro social safety net. Social safety net, and they also wanted rights for the working man. And everything else, they were conservative. See, that Democrat Party is gone, man. That Democrat Party right there has been gone for a long time.
Yeah. And you had made some comments about where do you think the future of the mainstream media is headed, number one. And then number two, you've got some data that rebuts sort of this notion that the younger generation is pretty conservative, especially when you talk about young women.
Yeah. I think that generation that, say, watches the evening local news or the evening news on television, watches the mainstream media, that's probably going to be your 70 and up now. And it won't be long before those people are not watching it anymore. It'll be a few more years, and that will be the final death of the mainstream media. Everybody else, all of us, we're out here on social media. We're out here on podcasts. That's how everybody else gets their news now. Then you think about, even my own mother has dumped her local newspaper because she got tired of the bias, and now it's 8 pages thick, and you're paying more for it, and that news is 24 hours old. But yeah, you were talking about these polls of the people, you know, young versus old, conservative and all that. The bad news on that is they had an NBC exit poll from the elections the other day on Tuesday, and they called them, this group, they called them young women. Young women, 81% for the communist Mondani, 80% for Mikey Sherrill, and then 78% for Abigail Spanberger. It was not good. And you know that's the white young women as well. That demographic, oof, that is bad.
Yeah, and this is an opportunity to give a shout out to the women of Montana. I've done this before back in 2024, right after the election there, because the women of Montana aren't like that. No. They're not in that percentages. And in fact, I even think the women of Montana voted in majority for Trump. And so I remember a year ago, huge shout out to the women of Montana. Thank you for not being like the women in some of these other states where you're 80% plus communist. I mean, that is very dangerous. I think. But what you're also seeing, I think, in that younger generation is even a bigger gender divide in politics. Like the young men are even more conservative than maybe even you and I are, type of thing.
Could be. And I tell you where I know this because of my daughter. Where we as conservatives and Republicans are losing this information war is TikTok, man. TikTok. That's where they all get all of their entertainment and news. I'm telling you. And they have got their paid shills, I'm saying the left, their little youngsters out there, the 20-somethings and the teens, they are dominating TikTok with entertainment and politics. And they're the ones telling all of our kids out there what's going on. This is what's happening with President Trump, with a shutdown. I have my daughter come up to me all the time and say, hey, I heard this thing. What's actually going on? And I'll tell her, and she's like, well, that's totally opposite of what they're saying on TikTok.
No, okay, so I remember specifically, this was crazy. I was in Bozeman inside the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse looking around at a 100% filled up Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. It was so much that we've got standing room only. In fact, I've got the YouTube videos up on my YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, LCTR fan. You'll find the old videos from the Donald Trump Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. And going viral on TikTok at the very moment that I was in the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse looking at 100% was a video of an empty Brick Breeden Fieldhouse with crickets. And people were saying there's nobody there. Nobody showed up to Trump's Bozeman rally in, you know, October of 2024, and I was sitting there. And so there is a lot of what's on TikTok is just flat out false, just flat out lies, things like that. Things like saying the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse wasn't packed when it was.
Oh, straight up propaganda lies. And see, all they got to do is get that out there for a number of hours, 4, 5, 6 hours, and now it's planted out there in the consciousness. So even if you come back later and try to say no, it wasn't, they're not listening to it. Then it's already been implanted in their minds.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. The other thing that really bugs me is, hey, I endorsed Senator Sheehy, but his PAC didn't pay me like Tester's PAC was paying the athletes. I'm posting conservative TikTok. I'm not getting paid by the NGOs like these left-wingers are. Where's the conservative?
Where's my cheese? Where's my cheese?
In the fast lane.
The 2025 NASCAR Cup Series Championship came down to the wire at Phoenix Raceway. It looked like it was finally going to be Denny Hamlin's moment as he led for 208 of 319 laps. But with three laps to go, William Byron's car hit the wall and a yellow flag flew. This meant overtime. And on the restart, Kyle Larson took advantage.
And the 33-year-old from Elk Grove, California, Kyle Larson comes to the line and is a
The call on NBC, Larson beating the championship four of Hamlin, Byron, and Chase Briscoe to capture his second Cup Series title in 5 years.
Honestly, I really can't believe it. Like, he didn't lead a lap today and somehow won the championship.
Larson is the 18th driver with multiple Cup titles, and it's the 15th championship for Hendrick Motorsports. For Fox in the Fast Lane, Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
My mom is a vegetarian.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The United States Supreme Court heard arguments this week on whether President Trump's controversial tariffs can stand under the 1977 International Emergency Economics Power Act. The high court's conservative justices were skeptical of Trump's use of the statute to declare a trade emergency and impose tariffs that have spurred heavy costs on farm exports. Chief Justice John Roberts disputed U.S. Solicitor General John Sauer that the 1977 IEPA law didn't need to use the word tariffs since Congress had already given the president broad foreign policy powers.
The vehicle is imposition of taxes on Americans, and that has always been the core power of Congress. So to have the president's foreign affairs power trump that basic power for Congress seems to me to kind of at least neutralize between the two powers, the executive power and the legislative power.
Solicitor General Sauer stressed that the law gave President Trump tariff powers indirectly.
But he uses the word regulate importation, and historically, a core central application of that, a big piece of that, has always been to tariff.
Justice Brett Kavanaugh was sympathetic to Sauer's argument that President Nixon imposed tariffs using an earlier law, but conservative Neil Gorsuch stressed Congress did not specifically delegate tariff power to the president in 1977. The plaintiff's lawyer, Michael McDonald, responded.
This is miles away from any delegation we have ever seen.
The Trump tariff case is on an expedited schedule with the Supreme Court. I'm Lee Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson here. We are taking phone calls and messages on the app, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Talk to Caden, the producer. He'll get your message to us. Or send it on the app, and we're going to read it. Got some here. We got Nancy in Roundup. Nancy in Roundup says, the globalists are declaring that climate change is no longer a threat and that they're going to transfer the investments from wind and solar power into AI data centers. John, that kind of jives with what I had reported earlier this week with Bill Gates, because they're getting ready for their big COP30 or whatever, the big climate conference, and Bill Gates writes this article for them saying, hey, no, actually global warming is not a catastrophe. Actually, he's saying we need to give more energy. We need to provide more economic development. It's like we've been saying for years that we're not all going to be dead in global warming in 5 years. And that actually, if you really care about the, and then I saw Emmanuel Macron is down in Brazil meeting with Lula down there, the leftist leader. And Emmanuel Macron is going to the Amazon. And what does Emmanuel Macron bring up when he's in the Amazon? Climate change. It's like, you're in the Amazon. Can you at least talk about deforestation and saving the rainforest while you're in the Amazon? But no, it's about global warming. But Nancy's right. I think they've recognized, I mean, none of this is genuine from the left, of course, but I think they've recognized they've lost the argument on man-made global warming. And so now they're going to be switching tactics, I think.
I would have to disagree with you there. I don't think they will. Now, Bill Gates, he has done a 180. And don't you find it odd that Bill Gates, here who's this guy, was up to his ass in the Epstein stuff. I mean, his wife divorced him over it. He was up to his ass in the stealing of the election in 2020, and God knows the criminality he was up to his ass in COVID. Now Trump's in the White House, and we have a Republican AG, and boom, he does a 180. Wonder why. I got to put my tinfoil hat on that deal, Rand. I mean,
well, so what's your take on Nancy saying transferring investments from wind and solar into these AI data centers? That one, I guess, I haven't heard of.
See, they're not going to abandon this stuff because it is a pillar of the communist agenda worldwide. It's how you take the place down, take it over. So they're never going to abandon it. What they're going to do is go silent here during the Trump era. And as soon as he's out, as soon as they get a Democrat, it'll just be like, you know, like the traveling carnival. Then they'll just pop that carnival right back up on your corner here. Da-da-da-da-da, global warming.
Yeah, it's suddenly going to become an existential threat again.
Oh, absolutely. They're not abandoning it. No.
Okay, all right. We got Big Jim in Waukeno, Illinois. Thank you for the message, Big Jim. He says, when I go to Yellowstone, it always seems like the Chinese are there planning on buying it. I mostly see Japanese. When I go to Yellowstone, it's mostly Japanese.
You see a lot, I guess you would say Asian tourists over there, and it's always the Asian tourists that I see creeping up on a buffalo. You know, so Buffalo is just sitting there minding his own business, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. And then you finally, I have a couple times said, like, dude, get away from that thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. You know what's also really funny, and I notice this whenever I travel overseas, but Montanans have a big personal bubble, shall we say. But when you go to like, you know, you're like 5 feet away from me right now, and like I don't want to get any closer to you, and like if I'm in
line, that's not what you told me at the break.
But if I'm in, you know, if I'm in line at a grocery store, I'm, you know, three feet away, and expect the person behind me to be 3 feet away. But you go overseas, and people are bumping into you kind of all the time. But I see the same thing when you go to Yellowstone National Park, and you're on one of these boardwalks, and there's a big group of Asian tourists. They're bumping into you, and all this. It's like it's a real cultural difference.
It is across the world, because I noticed that with Latin Americans. And I remember I was here in a U.S. airport, and I was getting in line to check in, and standing there, and I just turn around, and me merely turning around, I hit the person behind me, because that person is right up my butt. Right? And so, okay, I know I'm in the right line. You know, this is the line to go back to South America. I know that right now.
Right. We got Menace from Ennis writing in. Menace from Ennis says, but guys, they are speaking 20K on pot tattoos and piercings. Those are necessities. I think he's talking about I presume Menace from Ennis is talking about the obese lesbian couple in Butte that's going to lose their food stamps potentially. He's probably not wrong. They're probably spending money on pot, tattoos, and piercings.
Yeah, it's amazing how when you've got that food bill per month, which God knows how much it would be for a couple, and you said they have kids too, right? How much that food bill would be, they take that money and end up spending it on other things like smartphones, cell phones, and tattoos, and all these other things.
It's amazing. I mean, especially when you go overseas to truly poor countries, and you see, and then you come back to the U.S. and the quote unquote poor here all have the latest iPhones.
It is the fleecing of America. We've been talking about this for 30 years, and because it's out there in a federal program, it just gets bigger and more wasteful every year.
All right, we got another message from Tim in Billings and Sleepy in the Flathead. We're going to get right to those after this, and we haven't even gotten to the stories we want to talk about yet. Thank you for the messages. More after this. Just John Jackson and I were there just talking during the break about the Bill Gates flip-flop and some of this other stuff going on. You mentioned Zuckerberg. One of my favorite memes now that you see on Reels and Shorts is, if you recall, there was one time when Zuckerberg was in the Oval Office meeting with Trump, and it's like, okay, so now all of a sudden, you know, Zuckerberg was the same guy that dropped like hundreds and hundreds of millions into that totally scam operation in 2020, where he put a bunch of money in the Democrat districts to help them get out the vote, quote unquote, or administer the election. Now that guy's meeting with Trump in the White House, and there's this video clip where Donald Trump asks Mark Zuckerberg, like, hey, how much are you planning to spend? And he's talking about like AI data centers and all of this stuff. And Zuckerberg is like, well, you know, it's probably going to be a lot. We're looking at possibly spending $600 billion. And so then what you'll see is these reels, and it'll say like, it's like me when my wife asks how much I'm going to spend on guns this year. And it's like, and it's Trump saying, hey, how much are you going to spend? And Zuckerberg's, oh, you know, maybe $600
billion. $600 billion. Oh, my God. Well, you know what we were just talking about at the break is these guys, you added up like Gates, Zuckerberg, Bezos. These were, you know, some of the worst leftists out there, you know, during Obama and particularly during Biden. They all helped cheat Biden in 2020. And Trump comes in, and all of a sudden they're at the White House and they're down at Mar-a-Lago and they're pledging to do this, that, and the other thing. And they've pledged a million here and a million here. God knows how much money here and there. You know, but because, you know they were up to their asses in criminality behind a bunch of stuff. And they know Trump's running the place now. So they're coming in and saying, hey, boss, I'm with you, okay? Don't come after me.
Totally. Tim in Billings says, that John Jackson is a smart guy. Sounds just like that psychopath you had in yesterday, which was Tim in Billings. but I wanted to double down on something he just pointed out. The Dems call themselves progressives, and the listeners need to arm themselves with the knowledge that progressive is just another name for collectivism. Collectivism is the common denominator for socialism, communism, Marxism.
Yeah, and the problem we have right now is you don't have Republicans and conservatives out here in our among our elected leaders will say who are ready for this fight. And this has been a problem for a very long time. It's not new, you know, 20 years. But see, now they have the left has ratcheted up this to 11. They are coming for it all. And the next time they get in power, they're going to take us down forever. They are going to nail the doors of the boat shut and sink it in the harbor with us inside it. And that's why we are in such a critical time right now. We have to take these people down right now. If we don't, we're done.
Where are you at on the filibuster in the Senate? Because I saw Trump is telling them to get rid of the filibuster because the Dems are going to get rid of it anyway.
If that was their goal, it should have been announced back in March, and they should have got everybody on board, at least 50 Republican senators, and pass our entire agenda right now.
Yeah, that's probably the real. They don't have the votes in the Senate to get rid of the filibuster, no. So it's kind of a dead thing. We gotta go to Sleepy in the Flathead's comments right after this.
Join us.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson here. We got a message from Sleepy in the Flathead. He says, morning, fellas. The boomer generation continues to vote for leftists because they are still fighting their counterculture revolution despite being the dominant mainstream culture for six decades. They even still show up and sing cringy songs and strum their guitars at these paid protests.
It is hilarious to see these people out there.
The burned out hippies from the 60s type of thing. Is that who we're talking about here? Or?
Yeah, it was back in the summertime. They had another one of these ridiculous protests, and I happened to be in town for Aaron's radio show. So, you know, they always, I guess they hook up right down here, not far from the studio. And I drive by and you see these people and they are barely getting from where they had to park, you know, the however many six blocks down to where they're going to protest. And you see them, they're doing that old man shuffle, the old lady shuffle down the sidewalk. You're like, God, that people, y'all need to get a clue and go home. You know, you're going to fall and break a hip out here. I mean,
what I like about Sleepy's point is how, you know, if you're a rebel now, it's actually the rebel thing to do is to be a conservative Christian and get married and have kids. That now makes you a rebel. So Sleepy is exactly right that it's the hippies from the 60s that the leftists, they took over the government. They've been getting everything they want for the last 60 years. We've got nothing but Democrat policies passed. Even when you get Republicans in office, you oftentimes get Democrat policies put in place. Look what happened in Montana. You know, look at what happened under George W. Bush. You go back to Richard Nixon, for goodness sake. Richard Nixon signed the EPA Act, that type of stuff. And so if you're a leftist Democrat today and you think that, oh, I'm the counterculture, like, wake up. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have been in power for 60 years. Sleepy's right.
The good thing about having a 70, 80-year-olds be out here being your shock troops and your protesters is you can come up and, you know, you can walk by and honk the horn at them, flip them off, or get out and counter-protest, because what are they going to do? You know, it's not going to be like Antifa. They're going to run up and kick your ass or anything. I mean, and they're not going to chase your vehicle down the street if you flip them off. Right?
So you don't. So basically, what you're saying is, like, we don't need to use like rubber bullets on them or anything like that.
No. You just keep them out there for more than a couple hours. They're going to have to go somewhere to go to the bathroom. So yeah, or make it to where they can only protest past like 8 o'clock at night. Man, I mean, then they're done because they got to get home from Matlock.
All right, we got another message here from Thomas J. Madigan. He says, there is no provision in the Constitution to feed, support, educate the citizens of the United States. Get off your butt and build your future in a free and fair market. Right, Thomas Madigan. And like I said before, if you actually care for the poor, if you actually care for low-income people, then what you should be supporting is free market capitalism, or as close as we can get to it, because there's never been a socialist program or a communist program that's done more for low-income people, poor people, than free market capitalism. It, you know, and it's interesting. So, for example, like, I've been studying Argentina, and the history there, and I think it's important because it's the same thing over and over and over again. But what happened in Argentina is you had these estancias, which the estancias are basically ranches. And Argentina back in the day was one of the richest countries in the world because of those ranches. They were exporting beef and beef products. They were exporting grain, all these things. And then you had the urban poor and the socialists and the communists take over and then basically say, hey, this isn't fair. These rich, you know, landowner ranchers are making all this money. And of course, there was a lot of people that were getting jobs from them and other benefits. But when then the communists take over and take all the wealth, and then the entire economy collapses. Now everybody's poor. And so it's like, it happens over and over again where if you want to attack the rich and destroy the rich and try to take the rich's wealth and give it to the poor, all you're going to do is destroy the economy, cause hyperinflation, cause all sorts of problems. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And just like you, I mean, I lived in Latin America for almost 10 years. I lived in these societies. I saw this happening in countries I was in and the neighboring countries, because you get all the news from the neighboring countries. It never, ever works. But still, just like with Obamacare, you have these people now that have no idea about any of this. They just want it to continue. You have most of the people that voted for Mamdani in New York weren't even living there 10 years ago when de Blasio was such an outrageously corrupt and incompetent communist. They had to kick him out. Right. And they had to vote in Adams, who was at least a moderate Democrat and a former policeman who was saying he was going to restore law and order. And what did they do 4 years later? Now they're coming in with another communist.
And all that and every there's been places in Europe that have tried sort of like a wealth tax or, you know, what Mamdani wants to do, which is to just put an additional tax just on, you know, millionaires and things like that. It doesn't work. It destroys your economy. All that does is it causes the rich people to leave and go somewhere else. And now you don't have any rich people. Now all you have are poor people. It's like, what are these people thinking?
Guess what, folks? Here's you know, the big secret. Everybody, say, can you hear me in the back? Okay, no, clap, clap, clap. Can you hear me in the back? Listen, the tax code is set out, and the tax code is 3 inches thick, right? Those rich people that they say they're going to tax for you, those people are never going to pay that tax, okay? They are going to find loopholes out of it, or they're going to move. So guess where they're getting that tax from? Right out of your middle-class ass every time.
And that's what the Democrats in the U.S. are not honest with people, because what they try to say is that we can have a European-style socialist system without having European-style taxes on the working poor and the working classes, and it doesn't math. It does not math out. You cannot fund socialism at the European level without having European-level taxes, and Europe, in order to fund Europe's social system, they tax the working poor and the working classes to 50% or higher on their income. And you can take – and, you know, we were talking about this with Jake Eaton. It's like you could take 100% of the wealth from the wealthiest 1%, and it pays for the federal government for like a couple of months or something. It's like the math doesn't work. But they don't care because they're demagogues and they're purposefully lying to people, and it's the Santa Claus thing. But this idea that, you know, that's going to solve all of our problems is just so outlandish. And it's straight up communism, too. It's straight up Marxism. It's class warfare. It's based on resentment and greed and jealousy. I've always thought that was so weird. It's like Bernie Sanders will say, I'm greedy for wanting to keep the money that I earned from my own hard work. But he's not greedy for wanting his neighbor to pay for his health care and his food and everything else. To me, that's totally backwards. You're the greedy one. You want your neighbor's money. I'm not greedy.
Bernie is just such a joke. He's been a joke his whole career, that communist out there, always wanting to take everything over. But see, now, that's what everybody has to understand now, right this minute, who's running the Democrat Party. And it is Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Mamdani. They're the people running it. And see, Bill Clinton, to that rich, rich middle class thing, Bill Clinton said it openly back in the 90s in just an offhand comment. And he was talking to Dick Morris, and he said, you know, I can deal with the rich people, and I can deal with the poor people. It's these people in the middle that I can't get a hold of. And see, that's because the ultra-rich always need the government. The poor always need the government. It's those middle classes, people like me and you in the middle, that don't need them, they can't control, and they can't have that.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. I haven't thought of that. So I bookmarked one of your tweets, John Jackson at PVT Joker US. You tweeted this out. This I thought was hilarious. Well, first of all, so Paul Ryan, this is a quote tweet of the Paul Ryan where he says, "While we rarely agreed on policy, I have a deep admiration for Speaker Pelosi's lifetime of public service." You quote tweeted it and said, "While I rarely agreed on policy with Saddam Hussein, I had a deep admiration for his lifetime of service."
Paul Ryan, the just absolute cuck boy. Worst disappointment, I think, in the last 20 years amongst conservatives. Here was a guy. We all got behind it. He was the wonder kid, right?
Well, he was supposed to be a fiscal guy. He was supposed to want to cut spending and all that stuff.
And turn around, Trump broke the guy. Trump absolutely exposed Paul Ryan and all of those Bushies, all of those Bushy Republicans, all at the same time. It was all a lie. They were all just uniparty scammers the whole time. And this guy flipped it. Now here he is out praising Nancy Pelosi. What do you think Nancy Pelosi would have to say about Paul Ryan when he... Pat, when he leaves, right?
I was literally just listening to some Fox News clips from last night where they were quoting Nancy Pelosi was saying that Donald Trump is worse than cancer. Donald Trump's the worst thing on the face of the earth. All of this stuff. And it's like Paul Ryan having a deep admiration for Pelosi's lifetime of public service. It wasn't a lifetime of public service. It was a lifetime of corruption and greed and evil and insider trading and pushing Marxism and pulling the Democrat Party further to the left. And it's like, I rarely agreed on policy with Saddam Hussein, but yeah, we have a deep admiration for him. I mean, it's insane. I would put Pelosi on that type of list. She's not, it's not public. It's not public service to go to Congress and do insider trading, become a millionaire.
She's a serial liar, a communist, and most importantly, a criminal. What do they say? Her net worth is now over $200 million. It's all off a stock trade. Wonder how she did that.
The funniest thing I saw was with Nancy Pelosi retiring, it's unfortunate that Congress is going to lose its best hedge fund manager.
Fox Sports Update.
A low-scoring start to NFL Week number 10. Good morning, I'm Jared Max. The second half of the regular season in the NFL kicked off last night in Denver. The Broncos, who started the season with two losses in their first three games, have now won seven in a row. Denver is an NFL best 8-2 after a 10-7 win over the Raiders last night. Will Lutz's 32-yard field goal at the end of the third quarter the difference. The Raiders had a chance to tie the game with just under 5 minutes to go, but Daniel Carlson's 48-yard field goal attempt was no good. 10-7, the Broncos won it. Bo Nix threw for 150 yards with two interceptions and one touchdown pass to Troy Franklin in the second quarter. The Broncos collected more penalties than first downs, but still won the game. Denver leads Indianapolis and New England by a half game for the best record of the AFC. Before last night's contest in Denver, a moment of silence was observed to honor the life of Marshawn Kneeland, second-year defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, who died yesterday morning from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. Kneeland had just scored a touchdown on a blocked punt recovery in Monday night's game against the Cardinals. The Cowboys have a bye this week and don't play until Monday, November 17th. College football, South Florida improved to 7-2 with a 55-23 win over the University of Texas San Antonio. Quarterback Byron Brown threw for two touchdown passes and ran for another. Brown had 109 rushing yards for the Bulls. Georgia Southern got by App State 25-23. Men's college basketball, third-ranked Florida bounced back from its season-opening loss with a 40-point win over North Florida. 11th-ranked Louisville topped Jackson State by 36. 16th-ranked Iowa State beat Grambling State by 40. 20th-ranked Auburn blew out Merrimack by 38. For more scores, stories, and features, go to foxsports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers developing around the area, even mixed with a little snow in some spots towards Bozeman. High temperature readings today, otherwise staying around 47 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 50s in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, lows of 23 in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. And then on Saturday, there's a chance for snow showers for the first half of the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on the show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson here live. We are taking phone calls, messages, and more. 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. And when I say taking phone calls, you got to call in, talk to the producer, and he'll get your message to us or send it us on the Montana Talks app. Deborah Lewis writes in. She says, the problem with the SNAP recipients is most of them don't know how to cook on a budget. It's easier to buy 5 cans chili beans at $1 than to soak a package of beans. County Extension offers classes to cook and to budget. They're almost always empty, even when they offer dishes and pans, et cetera, to attend and complete their course.
I remember being on the job. I came on the job when I was 22, turning 23, and being down in Naples, Florida, you know, one of the most expensive vacation destinations in the country, you know, but that South Florida was where all the dope was coming in, right? This is back in the 80s, you know, Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel and all that. And here I was, I think I was a GS7, and that yearly salary back then was like 21 grand. And I would go to the store and buy a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter. And that's what I would be eating, you know. You know, and I had to do that for quite a little bit. And it's just how it was. You know, you just had to do that. I mean, it never occurred to me once to go that there was any place I could go and get free food on somebody else's dime, you know.
Yeah, so I see a bunch of stuff on Twitter where they'll show, like, lobster tails, like EBT, you know, eligible. Yeah. So you can take food stamps and go buy lobster tails and things like that, apparently, or junk food, you know, sodas, chips, things like that.
Well, they were showing that just the other day all over Amazon, just about the Halloween candy and all this ridiculous crap that is obviously not in any way your nutritional survival food or anyways. You know, we're just funding their shopping sprees.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, it's not even, I mean, you could say, hey, this is just not fair, because it's not fair. It's not moral, you know, to take money from me and you so that somebody can go get free Halloween candy. I mean, that, there's nothing moral about that. But also, I think what the Trump administration is trying, last I heard, I don't know where they're at on this, but trying to make it so SNAP, which is supposed to be about nutrition, that actually has some nutrition in it, and you go buy soda, there's no nutrition in that. How is a nutrition program paying for non-nutritional food-like substances?
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard the latest on that. These ridiculous judges, these leftist judges, you have two of them, say, try to tell the executive branch that what monies they have to pay during a shutdown when budget law actually says no. You know, because I saw the Secretary of Agriculture say that their contingency fund is absolutely connected to their regular fund, which is under rules of a shutdown. At first they said, well, he can try to pay it out partially. And then when the Trump administration said, okay, well, that's what we'll do. Then they came back and said, no, you have to pay it all out now, totally. And you know what they should absolutely do is just drag that out through the bureaucratic process. Oh, well, we're going to have 2 or 3, 4 weeks of paperwork and signatures and permissions all to get this actually done. They just drag it out as long as you can.
I mean, when Democrats are in power, or frankly, even when a Republican's in power and you're trying to get these agencies to do something, the agency bureaucrats, the Democrats, can slow roll the Trump administration proposal.
Have you seen the latest now? And if you follow Jake Sherman out there on Twitter and his whole group at Punch Bowl News, I think they're the best, most current people out there with what's going on. They have the best informants. And now, because I guess Thune and some of these rhino Republicans want to talk to them now, or sitting down with them in backdoor talks, now they, guess what? They see that as weakness. And they're asking for more, than they are originally asking for. And they were going to try to get this done, say, you know, over the weekend. But now,
unbelievable.
They're going to extend it even further.
These Republicans, they better not cave on this. I think Deborah Lewis's point on this about how the county extension officers has classes on cooking and budgeting, and they're empty. Even when they, you know, it's like, wow, what does that tell you?
Airplanes fly. What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.